You are listening to episode 102 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, Fiscal Responsibility. So what's next?
So Tuesday's going to be exciting.
Yeah, what's happening Tuesday?
Apple is going to make an announcement about...
And more importantly, do I have this... I don't want an advertisement. Who cares? Let's see here. Let me make sure this is blocked out. That's Tuesday the 10th. What time does it start?
10.
I have a meeting from 10 to 11. This is lame.
Bummer. Bummer December.
Are they live streaming it? Because that could really significantly impact my... if I attend or not. Let's see. How many people will be showing up to set? Oh, 7. I could skip that easy.
It's a perfect number. As I say, that's the perfect number because it's not so big where it's like an important meeting, but it's not so small that you'll be missed. It's like perfect.
Yeah, actually, the bigger ones are the better, you know, where there's like 50 people on the phone call. You're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. You know,
they just slot out of time. They didn't even check to see if I was available.
Exactly.
So I'm now busy. But now I'll be relegated to the blogs and I'll, quote, pay attention.
Yeah, me too. So they're going to announce the iPhone 5S with the fingerprint scanner. One of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up is, you know, I tend to try to resist the temptation to, you know, talk rumors only, but I do like to make predictions.
Try is a relative word.
I do like to make predictions, and the prediction that I've made for the last year and a half was that the NFC wasn't necessary. What you needed was Bluetooth 4.0, and that's why every iPhone for the last two generations has had Bluetooth 4.0 built in.
Crushing the dreams of some phone accessory makers, man.
Oh, no. But the thing is that it's like, you know,
I don't think you fully know how many dreams you're crushing right now.
Why?
I'm just saying.
Whose dreams am I crushing?
There's just certain companies out there who would really like to see that tech take off.
Certain companies.
Yeah.
Any specific names?
You would recognize it if you heard it.
Does it rhyme with Hewlett Deckard?
neither confirm nor deny.
NFC's not happening. It's definitely going to be.
Yeah.
As for all it doesn't make any sense. It's a low power, near range, quick communication. It does everything that NFC does, except it's a standard protocol.
Maybe Phil Schiller was doing a Steve Jobs where he was making fun of people having to touch their phones, which I was like, wow, that's big, to share. You know, the way Steve Jobs is like, nobody reads anymore, which is why we're coming out with iBooks.
Yeah, I got a feeling
like,
that
people hate tapping each other, which is why we're coming out with NFC. I could see it. He's just channeling his, you know, the ghost of Jobs.
Is the inner Steve Jobs? I don't know. I don't think that's the case at all, James. I don't know. This doesn't make any sense. But it's – and what's so
especially
exciting about
article
this is,
that we read a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I get it.
What's so exciting about this is that it's like finally my day where it's just like, this is what I'm good at, people. This is my gift. I can tell you where the technology is going way before it happens. And it's like, this is kind of like when back in the day when I predicted the iPod Touch would take off as a gaming platform, like long before anybody else was saying it. And then it did. And Apple like made commercials about it. And I was like, gosh, I wish anybody had recorded me so I could like point with proof.
So then what's the point of the finger sensor then? I still don't fully get that.
Essentially, what's going to happen, my guess is that it's going to be kind of like, certain functions will not work without the scanner being... Yeah, it's a security thing. It's essentially... Nobody can steal your phone and use it as a... and use your credit card that's connected to it.
So lame.
Now, why is that lame? Because you won't get that functionality because you're not going to buy an iPhone 5S?
No, that's solely enterprise-focused, and who cares?
What?
Well, it's an enterprise feature. That's not consumer.
What do you mean?
I mean that's something that's why corporations and big companies who care about a lot of security, they'll be the ones who are interested in that.
No,
from a consumer standpoint, it's highly limited.
No. Because what's going to happen is you're going to be able to buy groceries.
I like this. Disagreement's good.
And say you're going to be able to buy groceries from the store.
You might be able to, but that won't be the use case.
Well, but that's what they're. You're not at first. At first, yeah, I agree.
What matters at first? You're talking what 10 years about? From now?
No, I'm talking like a year and a half.
When NFC is finally in the phone?
No, see, that's the thing. It won't use NFC. It's going to use what the heck are you talking about, James? See, the thing is it's like right now I can go into an Apple store and buy a $300 product off the shelf without talking to anybody as long as I know my iTunes password, right? That's how it works right now. You can buy stuff directly through iTunes, and which is cool, except if somebody steals my phone and they know my password, all of a sudden they can, you know, buy $300 stuff, and there's nothing that I can do to stop them because they've got my information. Now, listen, what they're going to say is, no, you're perfectly safe. You can, do not be afraid to tether the unlimited access to your bank account to your physical device because nobody can steal your information. It doesn't matter. And if they have the phone, it doesn't do any good because it's tied to your unique fingerprint. And
so you think in addition to the finger sensor, they're coming out with an app or API or something like that where they'll be able to – I've got to think about how this would work. You will be able to tie either your iTunes account or some other credit card, you know, because they're not going to try to reinvent the credit card thing. Square is already proving you don't have to. Or maybe that's the kind of API protocol thing. I'm just trying to think, like, how would they, you know, make that easy so your finger essentially verifies who you are? I see it as a security play. I honestly see it.
I'll tell you what's going to happen.
I see it not happening.
I'm going to tell you how it's going to work. And it's going to blow your mind. This is going to be the initial sell. You're going to go to a farmer's market. Farmer is going to have an iPad. You're going to walk up to his iPad, and you're going to Bluetooth AirDrop to their device. It's going to come up. They're going to say, your fruit's going to cost you $5. Your device is going to come up with a $5 total. You're going to hit OK.
Right. How is that going to work? Is that like a specific app, or is that all through iTunes, some API?
It's gonna be the credit card.
Is that gonna work through Square? You know, what's the?
It'll be an iPhone. It'll be part of iOS. It'll just be part of iOS. It'll be part of their whole AirDrop.
So somewhere along the lines, I'll update my credit card information onto my phone.
Yep.
Or I'll take a picture of it at least, and it'll interpolate it for me.
Yep. And chances are, I'll bet for the first time they'll allow you to have multiple credit cards and whatnot because people use different credit cards for different stuff. And so it'll give you the option. Do you want to use this credit card? Do you want to use this debit card? Do you want to use blah, 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 blah? And you'll select the one, and then you'll put your – and then in order to actually do the transaction, you have to put your thumb to the home button, and it'll scan your thumb. And if it's you, it'll charge. And if it's not, it won't. And they'll say, it's even more secure than credit card. We're doing credit cards the way credit cards should have been done all along. Because somebody can't, you know, somebody can just steal your credit card. This is actually safer than a credit card. That's what they're going to say. And it's going to start out working just with, you know, pay for apps. Like, and they'll probably team up with Square or PayPal or somebody like that to do, you know, to do part of the back end on that. I wouldn't surprise me at all. But it's, you know, it's going to be designed specifically where it's going to be designed for on the onset transactions, financial transactions, iPhone, iPad. It won't be Safeway at first. Safeway will have a longer tail on it. It'll take them a couple of years to get around to it. And they're just going to say do Bluetooth, and these are the API calls that you're going to want to make. And all of a sudden, your iPhone will be able to, you know, you'll be able to do self-checkout with your iPhone.
So I'm going to – this will be fun for Tuesday because I'm going to just disagree with you.
Okay.
And I'm going to go with – I think it's going to be mostly a corporate security play. You could see that in the future, I guess. I don't know if they're ready to do that yet or if they want to even – That's just me. Well, you watch them; they're getting away from the physical goods. That's not where they're trending. You know, they're doing all digital stuff, and they're getting away from physical media. significantly. And so I just, I don't know.
All right. Well, fine. Okay. Whatever. Okay. That's cool.
We can find out on Tuesday. That'd be the fun part.
We'll find out. But the more fun thing, watch him
not come out with it at all, and then we'll
I know. Yeah, yeah. There's not even going to be a finger scanner. We're like, but
great.
What about authentic?
Which will further resolve my resolution to not want to buy it, unless it's like a haptic or 3D screen, in which case I might have to reconsider my
school loans. That would be a pretty big deal. No, but
because because I'm like, you know, the only thing that would really capture my attention would be like a new sensor, which again, this is a, you know, we're thinking 5S, right? And so you think like upgrade of all the internals and like it's all new phone, all new again. Times three, you know, and so it's, you know, whatever. But I'm like, you know, if they could add another type of sensor that allows the phone to do something that's fundamentally different, okay, that's interesting. But, you know, I just don't see that happening this time
around.
That's fair enough.
We'll see you on Tuesday. The big question that I have is, are they going to announce the iPhone 5C on Tuesday?
Ah.
Are they going to wait until Wednesday? Because less than 24 hours, they have another giant press conference thing planned in their plan for China. And so the big question is, are they just going to redo all of their announcements from Tuesday on Wednesday, where they announced their China Mobile deal, which has certainly gone through. China Mobile has already announced they're going to sell the iPhone 5S and 5C. You're like, great, guys. Thanks for letting, you know, Apple announce the devices. But but the question is, are they even going to announce the 5C in America?
I'll go with no.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to.
That would just be more interesting.
Yeah, I'm super stoked for it. I do not think they're going to. It had occurred to me because everybody had like said, you know, what's to stop people from why go for the more expensive one? What's the big selling proposition there? What are they going to do? Blah, 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 blah. But it would be awesome if they're like, it's not even available in America. Sorry. Better like next time, boys and girls. I could totally see that happen, especially with. Yeah. Well, I mean, they do that to other countries all the time, you know. Sorry, guys, you can't have this device yet. Better look next time.
I know HP makes printers specifically for certain countries.
Yeah.
Because it's like, because you have certain. I don't know how much I can say without getting in trouble. There are certain market dynamics where our business model does not work in certain countries.
And selling it at a loss and making it up on ink.
Yeah, yeah. And so you have to try a different business model, which, you know, is fundamentally different printers and supplies. So I get it.
Yeah. So I don't know, that'll be exciting. That's the big one for.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out there.
Sorry, that's the big part about this week that I'm excited for. And also this is totally getting into the weeds on rumors, but I guess there's this giant shipment of set-top box for Apple that they that I'm hoping they do a hardware refresh on the Apple TV. I want one so bad I can't stand it.
You're just waiting, huh?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because this is so stupid. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get one. I'm going to plug it into my 27-inch monitor that's sitting right next to the other one. And then when Mavericks comes out, I'm just going to use both screens and with AirPlay and, you know, when I need to. And then when I, like, climb into my bed, which is conveniently sitting 3 feet behind me, now I'll have Netflix and ESPN Zone and Disney Channel and Apple iTunes music, and it's going to be great. I love it. I cannot wait. It's going to be perfect.
You're living the life, man. Living the life. So, what are we at? I don't even know. We'll do this one. So, do you know what the next big thing is going to be? Don't we all?
Tell me.
Well, I'm asking, that's the question. So here's a bunch of startups, and I just want your yay or nay. Do you think this will be the next big thing? You're podcasting right now. Thanks for telling me that.
Now, sorry about that. I'm getting, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter.
How about Snapchat? Think that one's it's the next big thing? You think it'll be a big business? I think that's how they're trying to define it.
Is like it going to be $1 billion? I don't know.
Yeah.
Still use it. People still use it. I don't know how they're going to monetize it.
I sent you one earlier. Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
It's good.
I don't know how they would monetize it. It's a cool little app. I think it's no.
No.
I'm not going to.
I guess it's two. Like, you know, will they be around for a while for the long haul, and will they actually make a lot of money?
I'll bet they'll be around for a while. I don't think they'll ever be a juggernaut.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I could see that. They probably should be bought by someone. Would probably be their best strategy. How about WhatsApp?
Which one's that one?
It's a messaging app. Allows you to send. Think of it iMessage.
Yeah, that one's a pretty big one. Until you kind of like, I think what's going to happen, hopefully what will happen is people start opening up APIs to be able to go between Google Chat and iMessages and Skype and everything, and that'll destroy all of your I don't know why I hope that. I've been hoping that for, well, actually, the whole AIM thing, the instant messaging thing, actually did do that for a little while, where there's a big consolidation, and like it went down like two players, and you could do it across. Like, so there's somewhat of a precedence of that. I think if you actually get to the point where you get those kind of because the whole point of
WhatsApp.
The whole point of that is
WhatsApp.
Yeah, that's right. The whole point of that is to, you know, basically be able to get around texting fees.
Right.
And if you can get all of the different platforms with their built-in messaging, instant messaging system service, and they all cross-communicate, then, you know, texting is dead. And WhatsApp can fit into that ecosystem, but it doesn't have a real place anymore. So I think that'll be around as long as there is, you know, communication breakdown. But I think it's going to find less and less of a place to exist as time goes on.
Okay. All right. How about Oculus RV, otherwise known as the Oculus Rift?
I think the Oculus Rift has got a huge, huge potential in front of it.
Totally agree.
That one's gonna be a bit of a juggernaut, and unless they get bought by somebody, but I don't think they want to get bought by someone. I don't think they need to get bought by somebody.
You know, they started out as a Kickstarter project.
I do know that. I want one real bad. I might actually, I'm probably not gonna get you one of your first generation ones. Probably won't. Maybe not even 2014. But Parallaxing.
That's when it's supposed to come out, actually. So
Parallaxing. Parallaxing is like one of my favorite like cool tricks. I think
you
it's
do the, like that.
Yeah, and you know, the idea that it's so good. I want one. I'm excited. I don't even play enough video games to justify it, but whatever. Watch movies and stuff. I think that one's got it. Well, obviously, Elon Musk is like, that was the end game on his whole VR thing. He was like, finally, when we got it with the Oculus Rift, that was when it really, really, you could see the, you know, the awesomeness of this little system that we had designed. Like, oh, man, that's so cool.
That is cool. What about, I'm probably not going to say this right, Wanelo. It's a shopping online replacement shopping at the mall long ago. What? So it's a combination of the words wants, need, love. So, Wanelo. That's my computer. It offers a one site a collection of stylish goods selected from shops around the web. It's Pinterest, but with a business model, essentially.
You know, honestly, I've never heard of it, but it sounds like it's not a bad idea. Just, you know, one of those, can you get enough users to, you know, Pinterest, why is Pinterest cool? It's because of the user base. It's the community. You know, it's just like anything else. It's not particularly more, you know, it's not like it's got this brilliant algorithm that, you know, is crushing everybody else. It's no, it just took off. And part of what they did well was that they, you know, was you couldn't get in. You had to be invited in, which means you're special if you were, if you had your Pinterest thing. And you know, so I don't know. That seems like one of those ones where, yeah, I could see that taking off, but it's got to take off. Like, what'll be that magic that'll happen that'll get it to do that? I don't know.
How about a Lyft? Airbnb for what is it? It's not for cars, is it? Yeah, for cars. Essentially, you're in San Francisco, you got to go somewhere, you turn on your Lyft app, and someone else who's driving around has their Lyft app on, and they go, oh, cool, yeah, I'll come pick you up.
This is the pink mustaches, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. They got a balloon.
Yeah, so if you're driving around San Francisco, kicking around SF, there's like you'll see cars driving around with these like big old pink mustaches, and you're like, what the heck are those? But that's what that it's this. It's essentially a, you know, crowdsourced taxi service, and the taxis hate it. They're trying to make it illegal as fast as possible,
which probably means they're onto something.
Yeah, it does. So that honestly, to me, that's the big. Is it ever going to be gigantic, and will it ever completely replace taxi services?
Nope.
Probably not. You know, just because of, you know, you're going to have a certain personality, and if it gets a bad reputation, the app will just, will self-destruct. Mm-hmm. But there will be another app that's a similar service that will replace it. Might be the same company, just a different brand.
True.
If they're smart, you know, when the brand starts to tank, just jump ship to the next brand. Do the same thing, just, you know, essentially. But say it's more secure than those other guys. Those other guys are terrible. Like, you were the other guys. What the heck? But what would really kill it is if city and state governments make it illegal, and, you know, prompted by the taxi company saying, we got to get licensed, you got to vet us, like, why are you just going to let these people do it, and we pay extra to basically have a, you know, secure market, so, you know, hey, don't do that, guys. And that's the most dangerous thing for that type of a company, I think. And that goes for Airbnb, too. So far, they've kind of been able to avoid that, but there's this constant, you know, the hotels are constantly nipping at the bug at the heels of the politicians trying to, how can we make this illegal so that we can go back to having a lock on what we do?
Okay. There's another one, MYO, or MYO. Depends on how you view it. They're all capital, so I'm going to go with MYO. The question is, what will the interface of the future look like? Now, obviously, Apple and Google are experimenting with voice controls. Microsoft is doing their 3D scanning software with Kinect. And there's a little company in Waterloo, Canada that has an armband, which detects motions and muscle activity produced in the wearer's arm and translates them to gestures on a screen.
So basically, it's a Wiimote with a little bit better sensitivity.
I guess.
Oh, it sounds cool. I mean, I don't think that's going to be it. I think, you know, there's been long talk of, you know, it's like you think back to, you know, Jurassic Park, and the one scene where they're like, you know, with the DNA chains.
And we
put together the, you know, with the Mr. DNA.
The frogs.
And I got that one scene of the guy with, like, the DNA chain that he's stretching. He's got the VR head glasses on. Well, and the reason why they assumed he needed gloves is because, well, how would you know what his hands were doing without the gloves? Well, obviously, Leap allows you to do that. Now, will it have a limited application because, you know, it's if you were to make something super sensitive that you have to strap to your arm so it gives you really good finite control and a lot of different dynamic stuff, will that have a place for a while? Yeah, sure. You could find a niche there. Just because, you know, Leap doesn't have the sensitivity and Kinect doesn't have the sensitivity. Is it a long-term solution? Absolutely not. But I don't think that's their goal. I think the goal is to you know, fill a niche, because there is a type of interface that people want to be able to do, but they don't have the sensors to be able to do it. So they're giving you the sensors, and it has a stopgap.
Fair enough. So far, they've raised $15 million, and they've got 30,000 pre-orders.
That's a lot of money. That's not too bad.
Yeah. Not bad. A couple more. Braintree. Do you know them? No. Online and mobile... what are they? It's an application that lets people pay each other through text message. And they partnered with Simple, the banking startup in Portland, to make mobile payments easier for people who use a bunch of different devices. It provides technology to process payments on the web and on mobile devices.
See, the real question is, you know, how do you make sure that your device is secure? You know, it's all going to be all about, like, how do you make sure that the person that's holding the phone should have access to the credit cards that it's connected to? If you could do that somehow,
somehow, if you could just sense their finger.
Yeah, in a unique identifier to every individual.
If something like that existed, it would just take off, I bet. And that would be the perfect use case for it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if Apple gives them access to that, you know, that API call on the fingerprint scanner. I think
maybe not right away, but eventually.
Yeah, I think they will.
Which, if they don't do it right away, it'll be a pure enterprise security.
I agree.
Okay, all right, which I think it will be. All right, and then King.
You're wrong, but
King. No. Well, we'll find out on Tuesday.
We'll find out you're wrong on Tuesday.
Okay. I don't think I am on this one.
Every so often, a new mobile game charms the masses.
Yes, King. It's something like Draw Something and Angry Birds or Minecraft. I don't know. Apparently, this one's pretty popular. You get 3 or more matching candies in a row, you win. They've got 45 million players, which is more than Spotify, Pinterest, and Zynga's Farmville 2.
Holy cow.
And Texas Hold'em Poker.
Whoa. Now that's a big one. Beat Texas Hold'em. Yeah, John McCain was playing Texas Hold'em during the serious stuff.
You can also buy so-called boosters to help advance to higher levels. Analysts estimate that these purchases could bring in hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue each month. There's also no advertising in the game.
It's a video game, like any video game. It gets boring after a while. People move on. If the company can create another hit, yeah, they'll do fine. If they pull a Zynga and they never come up with another hit, they'll pull a Zynga and they'll do terribly.
Go ahead.
I can say there are very few games that kind of stay the test of time. Sudoku, Minesweeper, Tetris, Solitaire. Those are like your four. That's pretty much it. That's the ones that people will play forever. But there's like so much competition that nobody really can market out. You know, you don't become a huge success because you make a Sudoku app. It's cool. Congratulations. You know, live the dream while you can. But another idea up your sleeve because you're gonna need it.
So it sounds like of all of those, you like the Oculus Rift the best.
Yeah, it's just such a. I mean, you know, outside of full-on, you know, holograms that, you know, or laser projecting stuff into your eyes, you know, it's not the end-all of projection, you know, stuff, but it's the best in the market. It's crazy good, and it, you know... And one of the big reasons for it is because it's not doing anything. It's not trying to pioneer any new technology. It's using a couple of different chips and a couple of different this and that, and then just stitching them together in such a way that it gives you a really, really unique and cool experience. So, yeah. And it, like, you know, plugs into video games, and who doesn't want that? Could you imagine being able to, like, look around your 3D Sim City, like, what's up? You're checking out your Sim.
Cool.
Hey, man.
That would be cool.
Dude, oh man, playing Skyrim up against dragons in 3D, oh man, it's so good. I want one.
Fair enough. I think we got time for one more quick one.
Okay.
If you think you can do it.
I think I can. I'm going to do two super really quick ones. Okay, first off, HDMI 2.0 just got announced. I kind of predicted that HDMI would be like the end-all because why would you need more bandwidth? Once you kind of get to your quote unquote retina display, you know, quality where you can't differentiate pixels anymore at a normal viewing distance, which is what the 4K TVs are, and evidently the 4K TVs don't work very well with standard HDMI, so they had to create another one, but so I'm going to re-predict that this is the last one you'll need. which is, who knows? Nobody records in higher than 4K. 4K is, you know,
today.
The best camera. Well, the best cameras in the world don't record higher than 4K. 4K, your eyes can't differentiate the pixels. Is there a reason? Maybe, but I gotta believe that we're kind of, you know, it's like nobody's trying to do much big. Nobody's done a huge pixel density jump in in your mobile devices, and nobody plans on it because why would you? You can't see it. All you want to do is the image is 3D, as crisp as it needs to be.
3D. You want that's two a big double one. Images.
I'm gonna say that's really, and that's actually that's what did what necessitated the new HDMI, because you could squeeze out just enough bandwidth to do 4K with standard HDMI. Two images going right after each other require so much more bandwidth than what standard HDMI could do. So that was what pushed it over, 3D 4K TVs. It's fun, but, you know, expensive, stupid. The other thing that happened this week was Intel announced that they've now, instead of, you know, standard silicon wafer production, when you want to connect one transistor to another transistor, you use copper. That's like the interconnection. Generates heat. It's slow. It requires everything to be very close together. They basically came together. They came up with this idea where they're like, silicon is, you know, is a glass. It's just, you know, sand. It is glass. It's transparent. Silicon oxide is opaque. Stuff bounces off of it. What if we were to make pure silicon tracks and then put silicon oxide along the outside of it, and then basically create fiber optics embedded in the silicon chip? And then we can do all of our, you know, communicating that way. And they're like, well, that sounds great, but you'd have to build laser production, you know, things that shoot lasers and things that read lasers into the silicon. Can you do that? And Intel was like, I guess we can. So it's pretty cool. It's another big step forward in the, you know, building optical chips. It'll lot faster, a lot lower power consumption. But the biggest deal on this one, though, and what they're going to do with it at first, is they basically, like, we can now send signals very quickly over, you know, fiber optics. And this is, like, part of the foundational technology that's going to go into Thunderbolt. That's, you know, they didn't mention that specifically, but these all kind of tie together as this, like, optical messaging system. But what it allows them to do is it allows them to now, you know, in classic server architecture, you have to put the hard drive and the RAM and the processor all in the same box. And then you basically have racks and racks of computers. Well, they're like, well, what we can do now is we can essentially have one rack that's just the CPUs, one rack that is RAM, and one rack that is hard drives. And you because it's all optical, you don't have the power loss, you don't have the latency issues that you do traditionally, so you can rethink how you do this stuff. So it's like the CPUs that draw a ton of heat or generate a ton of heat, you can put in a much better system for cooling, and it just, like, it allows you to do
more efficient server design.
Yeah, it allows you to do server design, like, way cheaper, way better, cool, way faster. And the other thing that they're saying is that essentially, like, all servers today have dedicated RAM, dedicated hard drive. Well, now they're like, now everything's just going to be virtual memory. You'll get as much memory as you need, because there's a RAM rack, there's a, you know, hard drive rack, and then there's the CPU rack, and the CPUs will just pull into RAM as much as they need when they need it. So it's, I don't know, it's very cool. You won't see a lot of it in consumer technology probably for a couple of years, but you'll start to see
enterprise play yet again.
Mm-hmm. But it's what's really fun about it for me is that it's like, you know, that's the sort of thing that will trickle into fabs in the next 5 years, and they'll be like, hey, my company, can you build us one of these furnaces? And we'll be like, heck yeah, we can. Oh yeah, it's gonna be awesome. So, very cool.
Cool. That's mint.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Cool. Awesome. Man, a lot of stuff. And next week we will talk solely about Apple, and it will be good. I'll tell you about how right I was and how wrong Matthew was, or vice versa. I'm open. So yeah, cool stuff, man. Good show. Totally appreciate it. So, I'm not even kind of ready for this. Podcast closing. All right, I'm ready now. Cool. So everybody, thank you for joining us. My name is James Furlow. My 49er fan brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time. Thank you.